This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every week, Chris, we're here, we're doing life together with you. And we're really glad you've joined us.
That's right. We are very excited for you to be a part of the program. And you can do that on Facebook. Look up Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker. You can go to Twitter, at Dr. Linda Helps, and the website, drlindamental.com.
So, Chris, you've been holding out on me.
What?
You have been holding out. I mean, I learned something about you that I never knew, the biggest surprise ever.
Is this something that I know about?
Yes. It was you who did it.
Uh-oh.
So you did something Sunday that I had no idea that you could do, and it was awesome.
Well, we had a little special music planned at church.
We did.
No one knows that I can play the piano.
Nobody knew.
Right.
The entire choir, he's doing the prelude of the church. And not only did you play it, but you arranged it
That's
well.
Right.
So you did an arrangement to...
I Need Thee Every Hour.
Every Hour. It was beautiful.
Thought about dancing, but it's, they don't really like that where we go to church. Yeah.
But there you were. I looked around. You didn't have your choir robe on. Looked around. All of a sudden, you're sitting at the piano in this very formal suit, and you're playing this song. And I look, and it goes, arranged by Chris Weigel, and you're playing. And I'm like, nobody knew.
Right. No one had a clue.
What was that all about?
There's no reason to mention the fact that you don't walk up and introduce yourself. Hi, I'm Chris. I play the piano.
I know, but I've been in that choir now for a year, and I had no idea that you could play the piano. It was beautiful.
It's a great surprise. Yeah.
So if you want to come to our church and listen to Chris play the piano, you'd be in for a surprise.
That's right.
Is there a CD coming out of that?
Oh, definitely.
What I want.
Yeah. It's in production
right now. Do you need an agent?
Yeah.
You have an agent?
I do have an agent, yes.
You have to know Chris, he's kidding.
That's right. Well, speaking of talent, Dr. Linda, you've written a book or two in your time, and one of those is We Need to Talk. It's an excellent resource for relationship conflicts.
Yeah, I want to keep reminding people of that book because it's a very helpful book. If you're struggling in your relationships with conflict, that's a book that is very practical and will really help you.
That's right. You know, yesterday was an interesting anniversary, 9/11.
Right.
And lots of talk about this in the media, lots of threatening behavior.
Yeah, this summer I went to New York City and I actually got to see the 9/11 memorial and took some pictures. It was very moving.
Mm-hmm.
All of the names around the memorial, you just walk the footprint of the old buildings and there is name after name after name.
Wow.
And it is very moving. It's sad. And I can't imagine what those families experienced on that day. It just had to be horrific in terms of what happened. And, you know, Chris, we've had a lot of other things in the news. We talked last week about the shooting that happened. We've had suicides in the news. We've had fires in California.
Right.
We have earthquakes and hurricanes. It just seems like there's a lot of loss
out there. And speaking of books, you've written about how to deal with loss, which is the topic of the show today. How to Deal with Sudden Loss. Tell us about Getting Unstuck.
Getting Unstuck was one of the second books I wrote. The theme of it was we experience loss in three ways. We experience loss in our relationships, so whether that's the death of someone or a divorce or a breakup, or even if you think about a betrayal of a friend, that is considered a loss for most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have what I called situational loss, where you might have a poor diagnosis for your health. So maybe you've been told you have cancer, or you've been given some type of bad news that just hits you like a freight train when you hear it. Some people listening have experienced the loss of a job. Suddenly they go to work and they are fired or downsized, or the position has been removed from their company. A lot of people are dealing with the loss of health insurance. And then the third category is one that we don't think about too often, but it really does involve loss. And that is the loss of dreams, the loss of expectations. Many of you listening are in a certain stage of life and you're thinking, is this all? Is this what I really signed up for? Or I thought I would be at a different place in my life by this time. Maybe you're not married and you want to be married, or maybe you're dealing with infertility and you want children. So loss comes in those three categories: relationships, situations, and then our dreams and our expectations.
Well, when we can see loss coming, we're able to prepare. But
right.
Why is sudden loss so difficult?
It has to do with what you just said. We don't see it coming. Mm-hmm. And when we can't prepare and we can't adjust our mind to what's going on, that incredible shock and disbelief at what just happened. Kind of stuck on that news reporter that was shot, because I can't imagine getting up in the morning, going to work, beautiful sunny summer morning, you're going to do a story on tourism,
right.
You're interviewing somebody at a very serene place where there's not violence or any kind of unrest, and you're doing a story, and the next thing you know, you're shot and you're dead.
Yeah.
For the families and the people that had to deal with that, that's pretty intense. So sudden loss hits us in a very unique way because it takes us by surprise. And we really want to be able to cope with whatever comes our way and then help each other through those difficult times.
The issue of sudden loss is something that's personal for you.
It is, and I resonate with the 9/11 anniversary. My brother was not killed at 9/11, but many years before that, before we even knew what terrorism was, he was a part of the military. He was an officer working in biological warfare, and his plane that he was on was blown up in midair, and he was killed. And that scene will play over and over in my head, probably for the rest of my life, where I was at home on a summer day, and my dad was suddenly home, which was surprising to me, and there was an Army officer sitting at our kitchen table delivering horrific news. It just hits you like a brick, and there's just no way that you can prepare yourself emotionally for it.
If you could put a word with the emotion that you feel right away, that very instant when you learn this news, what would be a good word for that?
Probably disbelief, because you cannot wrap your brain around something that's so unexpected. I remember when we had to tell my mom and get my mom to come home from her job. My dad just simply said, "I've been injured, so just come home, I'm okay." And she could hear his voice and hear him. But the minute she walked into the house and she saw that Army officer, she knew exactly what had happened. And she fainted and she was not able to really even deal with the information that was being given. So it's very traumatizing. It's very difficult to deal with that kind of loss. And we're talking about this today because not only we hope and pray that there's never another 9/11, but certainly we all deal with loss in our relationships and in our everyday life. We need to know how to cope when something out of the blue hits us and we're faced with a deep loss.
That's a part of the title of the show, is Doing Life Together. And unfortunately, it does involve loss, and we do need to learn ways to cope with that, and that's the topic of today's program. If you'd like to keep up with Dr. Linda, you can do that at Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and her website is drlindamental.com. We'll be right back.
How I deal with a loss, I tend to turn towards family members, close friends. I pray a lot. Just knowing that they're in a better place than what they were here is comforting to me.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold.
How I deal with sudden loss, I cry. I do pray a lot, just because I know that God's taken them to a better place. You know, family members are always there for you, your close ones, your loved ones. I think that that's the time that they're going to be there the most, is when you're going through a situation like that.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about coping with sudden loss. It's one day, Chris, after 9/11, loss is on the mind of a lot of people. There are a number of families today grieving and feeling the pain of that loved one not being there for the family dinner, the wedding, the graduation, all the things that we experience.
We just heard from the listener a minute ago. She said that crying was one of the ways she deals with loss. It's okay to grieve.
It really is. And I think that is a really important point to remember when you are dealing with a sudden loss, to bottle up those feelings and to not let those feelings out can do actual physical damage to your body. Here's one of the things I hear. Have you ever heard somebody say, I have to be strong? Have you heard anybody say that?
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of a loss? And especially when you're a Christian. Sometimes people say, well, with God, I've got to be really strong. I need to make sure that I'm showing people that because God's in me, I'm not going to fall apart. But I just think it's so incredible that Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus.
Yes.
So he didn't try to hold back those feelings. I know that Bible verse because my kids always memorize that Bible verse. It counted as one. Yeah, it counted as one. So they do that. But also, if we think about Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, where it talks about to everything there is a season. And in that scripture, it says a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So there are times when we're dealing with loss where we do need to mourn and grieve and cry.
It seems like we would hide behind our Christianity and say, well, you know, I have to be strong, you know, this and that. But you're a human.
Right. And look at all the times in the Bible where people were upset and they cried and they cried out to the Lord. They asked for help. It felt too much. I mean, if you read the story of Job, you get a real sense of emotionally what Job was going through. So it's very appropriate to weep, to cry, to allow yourself to feel whatever grief is there, because if you don't, it will do physical damage to your body and it will come back at another time.
And you can allow an experience like this to actually bring you closer to God.
You can, and I think the key point there is allow it to turn you to God. I have to say, when my brother was killed, my first reaction was not to turn to God. My first reaction was to be angry with God and wonder, where was he? Because I kept having those thoughts of, couldn't he have delayed the plane? Couldn't he have stopped the person from putting the bomb on? What if we had not sent him on that trip? Or what if he had come home? My brother actually had a wedding, and he made the decision not to come home for the wedding. So you start to do all this what if, and you start to get angry with God because it feels so out of control.
Right.
But if you allow the loss to turn you towards God with the idea that there really is no understanding for this sometimes. Sometimes we don't understand. I mean, our only understanding of it is there's evil in the world. We live in a fallen world. Bad things are happening, even to good people. And we can't always wrap our brain around why this is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the time to turn towards God. I love what Philip Yancey says. He's one of my favorite writers. I think I've read every Philip Yancey book that's ever come out. But he says that God was not on trial in the book of Job. Job was on trial for his faith.
Wow.
We have to trust God even when it doesn't look like it's right. And I think that's what faith is. It's believing in God, trusting God, even when we can't see what good is going to happen as a result of all of this, how it's going to come together somehow in the end for some good for somebody.
Well, we've established that it's okay to grieve, but there are ways not to.
There's some myths that people hold on to when it comes to grief, and one of them is telling your story. Is that a good idea? When we're dealing with trauma with vets, telling their story isn't always a good idea because it sort of revs up the body. It may do some damage in the long run, but we're talking about normal grief with sudden losses, and it's very important to tell your story to someone else because there's something healing in the telling of the story. One of the most meaningful therapists that I studied was Norman Paul, and he was a Jewish man who had dealt a lot with people from the Holocaust. And he talks at length about the healing of those victims happened when they would tell their stories and they would connect with one another. And there was healing in that telling. So telling is really important. The other really big myth that's out there, people think that somehow when you grieve, you go through a certain type of stage in an order. So it's like first there's shock and belief, and then there's sadness and depression, and then you get angry, and then you start to bargain, and then you finally come to an acceptance. But what happens in reality, Chris, is that you come and revisit those stages over and over. Mm-hmm. So some days you might be in disbelief. Another day you might be really angry. And then you might come back to the disbelief again, or the depression, the sadness about it. So it, be very careful when you're grieving a sudden loss not to put yourself in a box and say, I have to go through these particular stages in a particular order.
Do you think storytelling helps get past the denial phase?
I think it does more than even that. I think there's something that's connecting you humanly to another person where we share our humanity with each other, where somehow it builds empathy, it builds connection, it helps us to see that we're not alone in the process. So I think the connection part of that is there. The other thing is that loss is forever.
Right.
It really is. But that acute sense of grief that you feel will not be with you forever. And that's really a hopeful thing to think about. I don't see my brother. He's not around.
Right.
So that loss is forever on this earth. I will see him again one day in glory. But the reaction of acute grief that I have over that has certainly healed over time.
How hard is it to say, hey, this isn't forever? Are they willing to accept that?
I don't think you would want to say that to somebody who's grieving. I think you just let it be. You let them be in the depth of their sadness and their loss. You know that it won't be forever. Sometimes telling someone a platitude like that in the middle of loss just upsets them. It doesn't help. It doesn't help when you say things like, well, maybe that was God's will, or you'll feel better about this later. Somehow that doesn't work with people.
Well, what are normal ways to get through the grieving process when you do experience a sudden loss?
You really need to give yourself time, and there's just no shortcut about that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time for the full impact of loss to really register, and there's no way to speed that up. I remember going to bed and thinking, I'm going to wake up and this is not going to be real. Or I'm going to wake up and a week later I'm going to see my brother. And I would just expect to see him at the normal places I would see him.
Right.
And nothing helped that but time. So that initial reaction of shock or numbness or disbelief is something that you just have to work through over time.
Then we do have the tendency to blame ourselves.
We blame ourselves, or we look for things that we could have done differently, maybe to prevent it from happening. I know that a number of those 9/11 victims' families were like, why didn't we just delay going to work? Why wasn't he sick that day? He couldn't go in. Our mind can't cope with this out-of-control feeling. So what happens is that we rehearse these what-ifs and these various scenarios in our mind, thinking that somehow we could have prevented this.
What about survivor's guilt?
That's a big one, because a lot of people feel like, what did I do to deserve to live? Why me? Why was I spared from this loss? You have to deal with that and just believe that somehow in God's plan, there was a reason for you still to be here. But survivor's guilt is real, and people do need to work through that.
Of course, one thing that a sinner, which we are, wants to do is blame somebody for this having happened.
Right. And a lot of times we blame God. That's our anger. We ultimately have to get to a point where we don't blame God, but we just don't understand what's happening. It's a phase. We can go through an angry phase, but we have to work through that anger and get to the point of letting it go. I think one of the difficult things when you're dealing with sudden loss is that you have to deal with coroners and police and doctors and investigators and officials, and we feel so invaded when that happens in those private moments of grief, that it's very difficult to deal with all these intrusive questions that people are asking, but they need the information.
They are so used to death, and we aren't.
Yeah, they're a little more desensitized
to
that. And not that people can't be sensitive when they're asking, but there's something about your own sensibility that you don't want to deal with a funeral director or a county coroner or somebody who's trying to help you with arrangements. One of the things that was really helpful, I had a friend whose husband was killed suddenly, electrocuted, helping cut down a branch of a tree for an elderly woman, and she did not want to deal with any of this, and I went in and dealt with all of it and didn't have her deal with any of it. That's one way you can really help, because it feels like the wrong time, even though people have to do those things.
Well, today on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, we're talking about coping with sudden loss, and you can be a part of the program by joining Dr. Linda on Facebook at Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
had a loss to a dear friend of mine. He passed away at the age of 40 years old from cancer. I dealt with it knowing that as a Christian man, he had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and based on that, I know that today he's dancing with Jesus.
I look for God to pull me through. I don't look for man to pull me through. I look for the one above to pull me through.
Driving to work the last few days, I noticed the leaves are starting to change color. Even though afternoons still warm up to summer-like temperatures, the morning air has a crisp feel about it. Fall is coming. Whether it's summer to fall to winter to spring, or back to summer again, the change of season has an effect on us. Be aware of those changes in your mood as a new season approaches. Without realizing it, a little depression can sneak in. Recognizing the onset of a gloomy mood can be one way of heading off the gray clouds before they become a storm. A little sadness at summer's passing is nothing to worry about, but if the gloom doesn't lift, seeing a counselor might be in order. The key, don't allow the darker days of fall or winter to keep you from enjoying your life every day. The Word of God tells us, "You created the day and the night. You set the sun and the moon in their places. You made summer and winter. The Lord, in all His wisdom, has ordained the seasons for us. So don't let a little change pull you down."
What's the best suggestion for how you cope with sudden loss? As a Christian counselor, I advise people to seek out somebody they can share their feelings and emotions with. I think over time, as you share your story and your thoughts and then your feelings, then you have an opportunity to grieve.
This is Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about coping with sudden loss one day after the anniversary of 9/11.
And you know, during that Man on the Street segment, we heard from a counterpart of yours, and she says that sharing emotions with the people around her is a good way to grieve. And that's one thing that we have not talked about. What are the good ways to grieve during this process of a sudden loss?
One that might be surprising is writing. Mm-hmm. What we've found out from research is that writing is very therapeutic. And there's a host of studies that have shown that if people write about their trauma, if they put it in words, you know, because sometimes it's hard to talk about what you feel, but there's something about writing it that organizes the thought, helps you tell the story. And the results of doing that are pretty impressive, Chris. People sleep better, mm-hmm. they feel better, they do even academically better. So if you're dealing with a kid who's dealing with a sudden loss, telling a story, writing a story can really help.
Traditionally, we would write in a diary or a journal, that type of thing. What about blogging?
That would be a great way to get out your feelings and mm-hmm. to share your story and talk about the loss and talk about the meaning of it. Sometimes when I'm writing, I do get a little bit clearer about maybe how is this impacting me? What's the meaning of the loss in my life? What is it doing? And so I think it's just a way of opening up and expressing feelings that sometimes people aren't able to do when they're talking it out.
Earlier in the program, you mentioned not necessarily being angry at God, but allowing grief to turn mm-hmm. you towards God. You would suggest that we seek God for comfort.
Yeah, we really need to dig in deep when loss hits us. And I'm going to quote Yancey again because he's got so many quotes. He's written so many great books on Where is God When It Hurts and Disappointed in God. There's just a host of those books. He says, God doesn't exempt himself from the pain. So think mm-hmm. about that. God right. doesn't exempt himself from the pain. God joined us, and he shared our human condition, including its great grief. So God knows our pain. He's experienced it. He's understanding the depth of what we're dealing with. Don't you want to go to somebody who really understands how you feel when you're dealing with a difficult issue?
It would seem the Creator would know
yes.
how to help.
So we need to dig in and understand that intimate relationship that we have with God, that He will bring us peace. He will bring us comfort in the middle of difficulty. His promise is to give us peace even in the middle of a difficult storm. And I have to say that is the one thing that got me through the loss of my brother was God's grace, His peace, His comfort, the joy that comes in the morning only because of the Holy Spirit living in me and helping me through my days.
faith gets you through this time, too.
We live in a fallen world. We have to trust that God has the big picture. We don't understand, and that drives me crazy, when I don't understand how things fit together, and I feel like I don't have control over things. But I really have to trust, because God says this in His Word, that somehow He takes the pain and He transforms it for His glory. And in a way that we don't always know and we don't always see. You know, what's interesting to me, Chris, is I was going to be a lawyer. That was my first career.
Mm-hmm.
And when my brother was killed, it came at such a point in time. I was on my way to college, and I was so confused about what had happened. I was confused. I didn't understand how this fit into my faith. And I thought, you know what? If I'm going to be this confused, I might as well study it and get credit for it. Well, so that's when I went into psychology.
That's a good motivation.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about it. My brother's death turned the course of my career from law to psychology, and I'm doing what I'm doing today. So we don't understand that verse in Job where it says, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. But then Job says, may the name of the Lord be praised. And boy, if you can get to that point where you can praise the Lord no matter what is going on, pretty intense.
With just a few minutes left in the program, there's a difference between grieving and depression. How do you separate the two and avoid depression?
Yeah, there's a period of time that really is involved in that. So if it's going on for years and years and you're not getting out of bed and you're not eating well and you're not sleeping and you're not getting exercise over time, not within 6 months or even a year or even 2 years. A lot of times we say that losses take about 2 years to grieve. So if you find yourself getting really stuck, and that was the point of that book, Getting Unstuck, then you might need some counseling help. Well, I know we're running out of time. I want to leave us with this scripture, though, because this is the hope. In Revelation 21:4, it says, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away, and we can once again see those we love.
Wow.
That's the hope. That's what we have to hold on to. Well, many thanks to our producer, Katie Reshetko, our engineer, Jamie Hall, our man on the street, Derek Battle, and many thanks to you, Chris, of course, my co-host who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.